Well, things just got real here. things just got real for Jonah. My whole family is sick, so you could keep them in prayer this morning. It is wonderful to see you, and it is wonderful to be able to open up this section of Scripture together. And I think there are some surprises for us, and I think there are some challenges for us. Quite a few challenges. Let's bow our heads, and we'll see what the Lord would tell us. Lord God, we need you. We can't do this without you. We don't want to open your word apart from your Spirit, but we do want to open up your word. We do want to understand. Will you please come now and help us do what we cannot do alone, which is understand this wonderful and divine message, accept it and receive it, be changed by it, and so grow more and more into your likeness and into your love and into your grace and to walk by the Spirit of God. We pray these things in your name, amen. So about 2 weeks ago, it was about 3 p.m. and on a Sunday, and does anybody know, there was a lad somewhere, but does anybody know what happened? It all happened to you as well. That's right, the emergency phone alert system. There was this eerie and terrible noise, and all of our phones started, you know, buzzing and making these horrible sounds, and then they, you know, broadcast their little message. I've been told that some people were in, like, stores, and it just was this horrible, you know, drumming noise that came out, and everybody's like, what's going on? Well, there was a particular man who was at home, resting, and sure enough, these sirens go off, and he gets up, and he is massively confused because he's hearing more alarms than he expects to hear. And he hears his phone, but there is another phone going off, and so he begins searching through the house, wondering what is going on, and finally he pulls a coat out, and in the coat there is a phone. And he pulls the phone out and he goes, what is going on? He's never seen the phone in his life. What was it? Well, it was a wake-up call. That's what it was. It was a wake-up call. And sometimes we need a wake-up call. So we've started a series in Jonah. And we've said that we're going to like Jonah. I don't know if you're going to like him so much by the end of this. But we're going to like him. And that we are like Jonah, okay? So we resonate with Jonah, and then we see ourselves in the mirror, in a sense. There's a little bit of Jonah in every Christian, which means that this morning, Jonah is about to get a big wake-up call. Literally, actually, he's sound asleep, and some guy's like, get up! What are you doing sleeping? This is not the time nor the place for that. But also, he's getting a wake-up call from everyone on board, actually. And they're showing him whether his faith is really sincere or not. And this is an important question for you. If you've ever thought to yourself, how do I know that I'm really following the Lord? Am I really a follower of the Lord? Or is this more of a game that I entertain with my family members, you know? We all go and do that church thing, you know? And we have nice social times, and Tim makes funny jokes, and we all laugh, yeah? How do I know this is really mine? Jonas is going to show us here. There are going to be signs of sincerity. Here's our big idea. Is your faith in Christ sincere? That's the question I want you guys to ask this morning. Or are you spiritually treading water? Get it? Treading water? Okay. Is your faith in Christ sincere? Or are you spiritually treading water? By the way, it's really unlikely that he knows how to swim, if anybody's wondering. He just sunk like a rock. Okay, shall we step into this story and see some marks of sincerity, starting with obedience. Do you say you're a Christian? Well then, do you obey? All right, verse 1 here. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went down into it. He went aboard. He sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He sailed to flee from the Lord, or from the presence of the Lord. It twice tells us he's fleeing it, okay? So in the Old Testament, there's lots of prophets. And it's really great that we're going to be going through the scripture. And one of the things you learn as you go through the scriptures is that, in fact, God raises up people to tell his people messages from himself. Okay, so he raises up Moses, and he raises up different prophets, Abraham, these other people, and they tell the message that God wants to say. Okay, and so he every time he gives a message to one of his prophets, they get up and they try to do it. That's always what happens every single time. Now, there is one story in 1 Kings 13 where they get up and they go and they try to do it, but then they don't do it completely. They make a mistake. They believe a lie, and it goes terribly for them. They are eaten by lions, actually. Lions come out and eat the guy, okay? So this is a real shocker. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, but what does Jonah do? He gets up and he runs from the call that is on his life. So it's full rebellion too. It's not just I'm not going to do it. It's I'm going to do the opposite. my son, I love him. I love him to bits. I will tell him things. I will say, don't do this. Don't do this. And actually, it's like less than 5 seconds later, he'll get up and he'll run and do the thing I just told him not to do. Don't put your hand in the trash. What are you doing? Your hand's in the trash, you know? This is what Jonah does. Don't, you know, get up and go. No, I'm going to do the exact opposite. And so he actually goes to the furthest point on the map that he knows to get away from Nineveh. This is the furthest point. There's nothing past this. It's the Americas. Nobody knows it's there even, okay? He's going as far as he can to escape God's word. But you know what? I think we can relate with what's here. This is an extremely difficult command that God has given Jonah. Number one, God has never called any prophet so far to leave their hometown and go to foreigners and tell them anything, okay? That's not been a thing in the Old Testament so far. This is the first time, and the next time that it's picked up, it's Saul of Tarshish. It's the Apostle Paul, okay? All right, so this is odd, but then God says, what does he say? He says, go and warn the Assyrians, right? Warn the Assyrians because their evil has come before me. And the idea is I am going to judge these people. I'm going to judge the whole nation. And I just want us to stop and think about that for a moment. You know, we do our own thing, right? Nations go their own way. And God literally, he takes whole nations on occasion and says, I'll start over. He does that. Now, if you think that's unfair, you are given life. It's a gift. And God is its author. But God does that. He has a huge problem with sin here, okay? But Jonah, his problem is that he doesn't want a warning. He just wants to jump to the judgment, okay? No warning, right? Why warn somebody that something bad is going to happen when what I really want is just, you go ahead, destroy them now. Because see, Nineveh is Jonah's worst enemy. It's Assyria, okay? This is the capital of Assyria, so this is like London of Assyria, okay? It's the, you know, and he hates these people, not without reason. They are brutal, they are pitiless, they are oppressors. The war crimes going on in Ukraine. I don't know if anybody else was just very, very bothered to hear about these horrible things going on. Listen, they take pride in Assyria on those things. They're like, yeah, we go there. We're that kind of nation. And God says, go to them. Warn them. Would you want to be warned? You're praying, you're having, let's just imagine you have a really great Sunday and you're worshiping and, you know, in the middle of the song, God's like, do you remember the people in Ukraine that are doing those war crimes? And you're like, yeah, I remember. Get up, get in your car, drive to the border of Ukraine, and I want you to go witness to those people. What do you do? What you do is say, I'm going to watch the footy game later and pretend this never happened, okay? That's what you do. I didn't hear a voice. I'm just losing the plot, right? Oh boy, that was a weird one. We would do the same. This is not fun. Think of the person who really has hurt you, who you can't talk to anymore. God says, I want you to show them mercy, perhaps. Why don't you go tell them? What do you do? Now look, even if we don't disobey a word from the Lord direct to us, we certainly disobey quite a lot, don't we? There are many things that we know God has asked us to do, and we simply and straight out don't do them. We don't want to do them. We don't attempt to do them. We don't even feel bad that we're not doing them. We say, all my other Christian friends aren't doing them either. See? And I hope you hear this. God connects obedience to love. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I ask. You'll do what I ask. And so if we don't actually want to do what God wants us to do, or if we have our favorite little things, that's disobedience. And God does not want us to just do the things that are easy for us to do, the things that we agree with. He wants us to do the things that are hard, the things that we scratch our head and say, please don't make me do that. Now look, Jonah is going to go down and down and down and down and down. That's what happens. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down onto the ship. He goes down into the lower room in a few minutes. He goes down into the sea. He goes down into the belly of a fish. Is he just going to go down? Is he just going to go down? That's not the trajectory of faith that I hope any of us will have. Down, 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 down we go. But what is your trajectory? Are you getting closer to God? Are you growing in obedience? Or are you? Can you relate to wanting to flee God's presence, to hearing him less and less and less, to worrying about, wait, what is Tim talking about this Sunday? Is it gonna sting? I don't know, right? I don't know. I don't want to hear something that will convict me. Is Jonah's faith real? Well, does he obey? That's one. Sincere faith or treading water. Obedient. Second, prayer. Verse 4. Prayer. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm rose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid. Each cried out to his own gods, probably plural there, his own gods, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. So Jonah gets a giant wake-up call, doesn't he? Jonah gets a giant wake-up. God, it literally says in the text, God hurls a storm. So that God's like, whoosh, right? Throws a storm down. And that's God's way of saying, wrong way, buddy. Wrong way. Turn back. This isn't going to go well. There's a principle here. God is more persistent than we are stubborn. Some of us need to hear that this morning. You think you're pretty stubborn. God is more persistent than your stubbornness. But God's love is fierce like a hurricane, because he desires more than anything for your life that you would be his. And so he brings a hurricane here. Now, I want you to notice the sailor's action and Jonah's inaction, okay? The sailors know what's going down. Jonah probably, he's living in a little bit of a self-induced delusion here. And so there's this strong gust. The boat, it's hilarious. There's a nice piece of poetry here. It says, the boat thought itself up to be breaking. It's saying, I'm done for. The boat is like going, I think this is it. I'm going to break to pieces here. Okay, so the boat knows something terrible is happening. And the sailors, they know that something has divinely inspired what is taking place. This is not ordinary. And so they immediately start praying to their various deities. They immediately start, okay, well, which deities do we got? They're praying to their different deities, trying to cover their bases, to figure out who's angry and how can we make this better. It's wrong, but at least they're praying. And they immediately start to hurl all the heavy stuff they have on board into the ocean, but they're hurling the wrong thing. Okay, they're supposed to hurl Jonah into the ocean. That's the joke. He's going to go in a minute here. They don't know that yet, though. The sailors react, but Jonah is completely lethargic. And I just want you to imagine he's seeing all of this, because this is exactly the way it tells in the text. He looks about as the things are swirling about, and he just goes, downstairs I go. I'm going to catch one last nap before I go. And he has a death wish, really, right? So first there's disobedience, but then secondly, what do the sailors do? They pray. And what does Jonah not do? Will he pray? No. No, he will not pray. Now look, this is really interesting. God does this to us. God is going to use the pagans to call Jonah to do what he know he ought to do. Here's this person, knows nothing about God. I'll use that person to tell you, hey, maybe you should talk to God. Maybe you should talk to God. You don't seem like you are. And so the captive goes downstairs and he says, what are you doing? Sleeping? Pray to your God. Perhaps your God will have mercy. Listen, this is God's word to Jonah. They've become prophets. Jonah's the prophet, or actually, he's not called a prophet here. But they're the prophets. And what do they say? Call out, Jonah, call out to God. It's like they have a phone in their hands. Don't you think you should talk to your maker? It looks like this is a scene for you to have a conversation with him. Perhaps he'll have mercy. Now, in the Old Testament, every time someone says, perhaps he'll have mercy, the punchline is, yes, he will have mercy if you just talk to him. He wants to have mercy. So God is not intending, I know some people think this is a pretty rough story on Jonah. God isn't like, you know, I want you to go in the drink, pal. God's like, turn around. God's like, turn around. Have you ever felt that stubbornness? You're just going to keep going. You keep going. We'll see who budges first. Will it be me or will it be God? God's like, just turn around. This is going to be so much easier. Just turn around now. Just repent now. Will Jonah repent? No. No, he won't. And it's so ironic. The non-believers tell the believer, you know what? You need to do what's right here. Sincere faith or treading water. Obedient, praying, seeking God's will. Verse 7. Seeking God's will. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on, who do you think? It fell on Jonah. What a day, huh? Couldn't get worse. Oh, it's worse. It's worse. Lot casting in the ancient world was kind of like the layman's attempt to find out what the gods wanted, okay? Cast some lots. Let's figure out what's going on here. Let's figure out what the divine is trying to tell us. So they are seeking the gods' wills, or whoever the God is. They're seeking to know what he's trying to tell them. And when things go wrong in your life, okay, sometimes they go wrong because God is allowing you to suffer like Christ suffered. But sometimes things are going wrong because you're doing foolish stuff. You're going the wrong way. And it hits you in the face, and God's like, now take some stock and talk with me and seek my will, and I will help you. Okay, that's what Jonah should be now taking stock. Okay, I see the swirly clouds everywhere. The boat's looking like it's breaking up. I just had some pagans tell me that I should be talking to you, God. So, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, that's what should be going on for Jonah, but that's not what's going on. Is he doing that? Is he seeking God's will? No. No, he is not. Now, when they do the lots, there's a whole pile of stories in the Old Testament where they cast lots to find out who the troublemaker is. Okay, there's stories in the Old Testament about finding the person who has sinned by lot. And so, for instance, in Joshua chapter 7, you can go and read that on your own time, you have Joshua looking for the culprit who has stolen the treasure that belongs to the Lord. And they do all Israel, and they do by lot, and it comes up that it's this guy Achan, and all the treasure is under his tent. Okay? And so this is something that happens. And so God, what is happening is that God is outing Jonah about his sin. Yeah? God is revealing his sin. Numbers 23:23, I just have it in front of me. It says this: "You may be sure if you continue your sin, your sins will find you out." Does everybody feel comfortable with this? Everybody feeling comfortable with their sins being found out? Yeah? God wants us to really turn towards him. He gives us time. He gives us time. And if we're not really repentant, we're not really trying to put away our sins because he loves us. Remember, God is, his mercy is fierce. His love is fierce like a hurricane. If we won't really turn to him or give up our sin, that, you know, sometimes he exposes it so that he can remove it. That's why he does it. And so they expose Jonah's sin here, Jonah's hidden sin. And can I just say, there are things in your life that you may need accountability over, okay? There are relationships. You're having relationships, and you don't want those relationships to go where they shouldn't. Get some accountability. Get some accountability for what you look on when you're on your computer. Get some accountability for the sort of drugs that you have at your fingertips, that you're not going to go that direction if you've gone that direction. Get some accountability for these issues. If you get angry at people, if you have these sort of issues, get some accountability. Get a like-minded person of the same sex, very clear there, who wants to walk after Jesus, and tell them rather than have it be revealed. I have accountability. If I have accountability, you can have accountability too, right? It's important to confess your sins to one another and to work on not going that direction. Sincere faith or treading water, obedient praying, seeking now, sharing God's good news. Verse 8, sharing God's good news. So they asked him, "Tell us, you who are responsible," okay, "you whom are responsible" is a good translation there. "Tell us, you who are responsible for making all this trouble for us, what kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. They asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he told them. They knew he had run from the Lord. So this section is the dead center of this passage where Jonah stands up and says, "I worship the God that made all things. I worship him, the Lord of the heaven and the earth." By the way, the word "I" there is really prominent in the Hebrew. It's like, "I worship God, the maker of everything." Now, if you think about it, it's kind of a confession of faith here. He's saying, you know, there's a real God that made everything, the earth and the sky, everything that you see, and I follow that God, that living God. And, you know, the sailors might have thought something like, well, this is interesting information. I didn't know that there was one God. I thought there was like many. I could have used this information a little bit earlier. You know, if you had told me this under better circumstances, that would be great. It's kind of like he's giving his testimony, but he's not a willing testifier to God's good news. See, God loves these people. God loves all these people. But Jonah doesn't care. He doesn't care if they perish. He doesn't care if they die or live. And do you care? Do you care if the person next door is on their way to hell? I do. I care. Have you said anything? No. Right? No, I haven't said a thing. Maybe you'll be forced to it. Right? Maybe it'll come out of your mouth because you have no other choice like Jonah. Jonah actually is gloating here. He says, "I am a Hebrew." Do you remember when Paul says, "I don't want to gloat. I don't want to gloat, but if I have to," he says, "I am a Hebrew of Hebrews." Okay? He's gloating. And he says, I worship the real God. You guys worship idols. Pathetic. And he front loads his own name. It's all about me. And then they say, "Wait a minute. You worship him. You fear him. You fear this God." But you're snubbing him and running from him? Is that what you just told us? Wait, this is a total disconnect. This God that made the entire world and everything in it, you're running from him. I'm just struggling to understand exactly what you've done here, Jonah. I mean, like, if this is true, how could you possibly do what you have done? I mean, what kind of faith do you think Jonah actually has? I serve the real God, but I won't listen to anything he says, and I won't do his will, and I'm running from him, and I won't talk to him, and I won't seek him. If this stays exactly the way it looks here, if God doesn't intervene, then the only witness that these people will have is that God is very angry and that his major representative is really pompous. Sometimes our arrogance is the only gospel message that people hear. Sincere in faith or treading water. Obedient, praying, seeking, repenting. Verse 11, repenting. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you or for you? For you is a better translation. What would we do for you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, he replied, and it'll become calm for you. Because I know that it's all my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Really? You know? Do you know that? Wow. This is really absolutely hilarious. Jonah did something wrong, but they say, what should we do to make it right? Jonah is the one to sin, but they're the ones that are trying to make up for the sin. Now, what can we do for you to make this better? They're trying to repent for Jonah. Will Jonah repent? Jonah, pray. Will he pray? No. Jonah, seek God. Will he seek God? No. Jonah, will you repent? Will he repent? Everybody say? No. Jonah doesn't repent the entire book, just in case you're wondering. Now, I know you think he does in chapter 2, but I'll tell you why no in a bit, okay? Well, next week. All right? He doesn't repent. He's not being saintly here at all. He's not saying, oh, just throw me in. It's going to be better for you. It's going to be better for you because I'm so, so very sorry. He's saying this because he'd rather die than share God's love with his enemies. He doesn't want to go. Listen, do you know how to say sorry here? Jonah, what should we do? Well, let me tell you. Turn the ship back. There's still time for me to catch my 9 a.m. to Nineveh. Everything's going to be fine, folks. Gosh, I really came up against the wrong God. Sorry. Sorry about that. Or at least if he thought that what really needed to happen is for him to be thrown in the water. Well, why did he say, throw me in the water? Why didn't he just say, oh, I'm so very sorry about this. Goodbye. Off he steps, right? Into the water. He didn't do that. He said, you throw me in. Throw me in, guys. It'll all go better for you if you throw me in. Because he wants to incriminate them. He wants them to be involved in killing him so that the blood is on their hands. By the way, they figure it out in just a second and say, no way, okay? They know. He tries. He says, throw me in, it'll all go well. They're like, God, don't let this man's blood be on our hands, okay? They understand what's going on here. Will Jonah repent? No, he will be stubborn. Throw me in. Sincere in faith or treading water. Obedient, praying, seeking, repenting. Last one, crying out to God for salvation. Crying out to God for salvation. Verse 13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord. Please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased. And they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They made vows to him. Okay, so they see through Jonah's trick. They're trying to row for shore. It doesn't work. And they cry out to God to save them. You hear that? They cry out. Everybody know what's happening here? Here it is, Acts 2:21. It comes out that everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why did God do this? Well, God loves Jonah. He's trying to work in Jonah's heart. But he also thought, I'll save some sailors along the way. I'll get these guys into the kingdom of God because I love them. And so now this is the exact thing that Jonah does not want to have happen. He's rebelling to keep people who he thinks are worthy of hell out of heaven. And God has just taken some of these unworthy people and said, you can come into heaven. I'm going to save you. Will Jonah cry out in his need? No. No, he will not. He will sink like a rock into the ocean. And so actually, Jonah is judging himself here. He's saying, I don't want to go on like this. I don't want to live. And he punishes himself. Now, he's hurled into the sea. This is the third time it's come up, right? First, God hurls a storm on the sea. Then the sailors, they hurl their junk into the water to keep the boat lighter. And now Jonah is hurled into the sea. And it turns out that this word is something that comes up in the Bible a lot. Jeremiah 16:13, if you will not obey, okay, context, I will hurl you from your land. That's not the only one. There's lots of verses in the Old Testament that say, essentially, you must listen to me, and if you don't, you will be hurled away, okay? This is a threat for people who will not be sincere towards the gospel. And so we get to this last little bit of Jonah's first act, as it were, and God has this statement, which is, I tried to get you to repent. I tried to get you to turn around. You would not have it. And so by your own deeds, you are hurled out. Okay, judgment is upon you. Now, it's my contention that Jonah will actually see the light after the end of the book of Jonah. Okay, so there is a good and happy ending. But what's being said is that he doesn't actually have a relationship with the Lord, just a title. And that's the danger for us, isn't it? That we would have all the trappings, the outward trappings of what looks like a believer, but there would just be something missing inside of us, that we would not be trusting in Jesus for real, choosing to live for him, letting him change us. And that's why Jonah exists for us. It's a mirror, isn't it? And we're going to see a lot more of this mirror as we continue in the book. Just want you to see they sacrifice, they make vows, okay, the sailors, i.e. they become believers. And so the religious person is not in the kingdom. The people who were not religious, who didn't believe in God, they end up in the kingdom. Why do they end up there? Because they responded to God. Now, next week, Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And we ask the question, will he repent? No, it's not going to repent, in case anybody's wondering. But I'm looking forward to it, and we're going to explain why it's entirely very plausible. I know it sounds like a myth. It's entirely very plausible that it really happened and that he was really in the belly of this fish. And then we'll talk about what it means. It could be a whale, but they only had one category for swimming things, and that was fish. So that's why it says fish there, okay? Sincere in faith or treading water, obedient, praying, seeking, repenting, crying out to God. Oh, wait, about that story at the beginning. I forgot. That's right. The guy is sitting there, and the phone goes off, and he doesn't, you know, it's in the pocket of his wife's coat, yeah? And she comes downstairs, and he says, what's this? And it turns out that she had purchased a phone so that she could pursue affairs, yeah? That she was pursuing extramarital things on the phone. It all just comes out. And this was a good thing, actually. And the reason it's a good thing, She wrote about this eventually, okay? The reason it's a good thing is because she wasn't really interested in these affairs that she was seeking. She was being very, very bad. She got caught in it. And it's now making her think about, okay, I need to save this marriage instead of just continue to do the bad thing that I was doing. It was a wake-up call. Some of us need that wake-up call too, okay? We need to be told, You cannot continue the course that you're on away from God. It really will lead you down. So turn away. Turn back to God. Repent. Which one of these do you struggle with? Obedience? Prayer? Are you praying? Are you seeking God's will? Are you sharing the good news? Are you repenting? Are you trusting daily for God to be your salvation? Which one? Let's take a moment to pray, and you'll have a chance to speak to God about that very thing. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, God, for helping us through that. Thank you, God, for helping me through it. I, of all the people who have run so far from you in the past, am here today to call us each to now turn back to you. Help us to obey. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your will. Help us to repent. Help us to share good news. Help us to daily trust in the grace of God. I pray for each person here that they would follow you till that last day. The trajectory of our lives would go upwards to heaven and not downwards to the abyss. And now in the quietness of your heart, why don't you speak to him regarding something that you've heard today?